The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You're tuned in to The Last Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to The Last Radio Show. I'm John Lynch.
I'm Jen Riley.
And we talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk about news. We talk about history. We talk about pop culture. Today we're going to talk about some things that kind of embody all of that and kind of bring it all together.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to give you a list of a couple of things, and I want you to tell me what you think these things have in common.
Okay, it's like a word association?
Kind of, yeah. It's a little trivia question, maybe.
Okay.
So, That 70s Show, House of Cards, Roseanne, and The Cosby Show. What do you think they all have in common?
I don't know. Beloved TV shows?
They were all TV shows. They were all very popular TV mm-hmm. shows. And they all have a star or one of the stars who have been canceled.
Right.
And has some kind of ominous things in their background, different variations on things.
Which is that 70s show?
I think his name is Danny Matheson. He's in prison right now.
Yes.
Because he allegedly, he was convicted of sexually assaulting a few women. Several women, actually. So he's in prison for like 30 years now.
That's right. I remember when some of the cast was coming to support him, and it was a big controversy, actually.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of the cast members, kind of canceled themselves for supporting him. Of course, we know Bill Cosby had some issues and spent some time in jail. Roseanne was more stuff she said.
Right.
When she didn't face any jail time or stuff, but she got canceled and got kicked off the reboot of her show, actually.
Yeah.
And, of course, House of Cards, Kevin Spacey, he had a lot of allegations against him, and he was kicked off the show. That was a tough one. And again, all these shows were incredibly popular.
Yeah.
And, now my question to you is, can you enjoy these shows, watching them now, like The Cosby Show is one of the funniest shows of all time.
Yeah, and he was so funny.
And Bill Cosby did a lot more than obviously just The Cosby Show, too. Movies and the
his stand-up is his classic, stand-up, right?
Classic stand-up, Fat Albert, all this stuff. We grew up with Fat Albert as kids, If you see it now, if you watch The Cosby Show now, is it tough to watch now? Does it make you uncomfortable?
So I think it depends on the situation, because like The Cosby Show, I feel like there was like two sides to Bill Cosby, right? There was like the wholesome kind of guy, and then there was a bad side, I guess.
Right, right.
But so that show, I still feel like I can enjoy it. I mean, guiltfully. I don't know.
It's tough, again, of course, in every show, they're actors. They're acting. These are not the people. No TV show is featuring maybe Seinfeld, because maybe that was just what Jerry Seinfeld was like. But of course, one of the members of Seinfeld got canceled too, Michael Richards.
True.
But so, maybe there's a few shows that fall into where the person is actually being themselves. But for the most part, they're actors. They're acting.
Right. And Kevin Spacey, that was a tough one, because I think in American Beauty, he was kind of creepy. And then I think that is probably kind of what he was, maybe.
If you look at Kevin Spacey's roles, he was creepy in pretty much every role he played. Right. House of Cards, he was a creep.
Yes.
American Beauty was a creep. Seven, he was a creep.
Yeah.
He was a serial killer. Everything.
So that's kind of okay to watch, because you're like, oh, I don't like him anyway in this.
Right, you're not supposed to like him. He was never really. He was never really the lovable guy.
Yeah, that's a different situation.
So that's kind of interesting. But we think that the whole cancellation thing is more of a recent thing.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk a little bit about some of the history in Hollywood. And back in 1921, so over 100 years ago, there was an actor called Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle. Do you know? Have you heard of him?
My mother used to talk about Fatty Arbuckle all the time.
Fatty Arbuckle.
She used to feel like Fatty Arbuckle when her jeans were tight. I don't understand the reference.
He was a silent movie comedian in the era of like Charlie Chaplin, the Keystone Cops, that kind of era. and he was a large gentleman. He sure. earned his nickname. You know, he was a rather rotund gentleman, and that was a lot of his shtick. You know, and he was at the time in 1921 the second biggest star in Hollywood, right after Charlie Chaplin.
Oh wow!
And Charlie Chaplin has some issues too, by the way. There's a lot of stuff about Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, he married a lot of younger women who we knew for a long time before they were of legal age, apparently. Mm. So there's a big gray area with Charlie Chaplin, which we won't get into. Maybe we'll do a show on him one time.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. did a great job playing him in his autobiography movie, but Fatty Arbuckle. Was one of the biggest, literally and figuratively, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood in 1921.
Right.
And he just signed a contract with his movie studio, a 3-year contract for $1 million a year in 1921.
Holy cow.
Which is like $20 million today.
Yeah.
So, you know, big contract, big money. So he decided to throw a party. And he had a party at this hotel in Hollywood over Memorial Day weekend. And this was during Prohibition. So there was a lot of illegal alcohol at the party. A lot of big name celebrities and a lot of ladies were there at the party. And one of the ladies, a lady named Virginia Rappe, who was an aspiring actress. And you know, we could talk all casting couch kind of stuff because that could be part of this too.
Yeah.
But she was at the party and she died.
Oh.
So she was found dead at the party and, you know, she was sick at the party. They brought her to the hospital and she died a couple of days later.
And what was the cause of death?
Well, that's the big mystery because there was rumors at the time and some of her friends who were at the party as well said that Fatty Arbuckle took her to a room, sexually assaulted her and crushed her. Today.
Oh my God.
Now, most people who have looked at this over history don't think that's true.
Okay.
They think she probably had a burst appendix.
Oh.
And she just was sick on her own. They brought her to a room because she was not feeling well. And apparently, like, Fatty Arbuckle did, like, check in on her. And again, who knows what really happened? This was over 100 years ago. But the prevailing theory is that she died of an illness.
Right.
And it just happened to be at this party that was going on. Now, Fatty Arbuckle did face murder charges.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was put on trial 3 separate times. 2 times it was a mistrial. The 3rd time he was found not guilty.
Okay.
But it completely destroyed his career.
Really?
Yeah. They voided the contract. He couldn't work for years and years. He later in life, like about 30 or 40 years later, tried to make a comeback. And he ended up passing away shortly thereafter, around the time he was just starting to come back into Hollywood. Sure. But he probably was innocent.
Right.
Again, we don't really know.
Yeah, it sounds more like an urban legend than fact,
does.
Really.
It does. But. It does. And a lot of people think that the friends who said that we're trying to cash in, you know, on, you know, trying to make some money off this tragedy, that the friends of the victim were saying this stuff just to sell their story to newspapers, which was a big thing at that time. Then, of course, you know, in the 1940s and 50s, we had the blacklist period.
Right.
Where a lot of people in Hollywood were accused of being communists and couldn't work for years and years in Hollywood and had to work under assumed names.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was a whole big thing. So the whole idea of being canceled is not necessarily new.
Yeah, but don't you think that some people are canceled and then some are not? There's like a weird – I don't know what the criteria is.
It's whatever the public mood is at the time.
Yeah, I do think that.
You know, it is funny when you see somebody who gets in trouble because they find like an old post they made on Twitter like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to haunt them kind of thing. Well, you know, it was on Twitter 10 years ago and nobody cared.
Right.
You know, and maybe they became more famous, so it became more of a big deal. But, you know, it's whatever, you know, they said, you know, might seem racist now or might seem, you know, inappropriate or whatever it might seem. You know, there's definitely different levels. There are people who say dumb things and get in trouble for it. And there are people who commit crimes.
Yes. I mean, and my barometer, I was actually thinking about that. So I don't cancel people for their opinions necessarily. Right. I could vastly disagree with them. But an opinion is not, to me, something that would just, you know, make me shun them.
Right.
But the one I was thinking of was Harvey Weinstein. Now, I have to tell you, his movies, anything that's by that company, the Miramax company, I feel it's a little hard to watch. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, yeah, I can see. It's a little different because he's not in them.
I think he's behind them. Right, but what happened? Like, how did that actress get that part? Like, right, everything just changed to me. Like, wow, you know, who was supposed to be in it? What happened before? What happened after? Like, just kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I can separate that a little bit, like I said, because you're not seeing Harvey Weinstein in the movie. He's not a... He was, you know, the name behind it. You know, his name's on the credits when it rolls at the end. But, you know, he's not the actor in it in your face like Bill Cosby on the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
There's a very famous clip that people are referencing now in retrospect from the Cosby Show where he was making a barbecue sauce that was kind of an aphrodisiac. And, like, he was serving it to, like, all the couples in the family and they were all getting kind of frisky and stuff like that. Which, in retrospect, looks really bad because of the things he was accused of doing.
Yeah.
And apparently he did drug women and knock them out, you know, with a, with a concoction of some kind. So, you know, it's definitely when you see that in retrospect, it makes you think.
It does. It's really hard. I think it just depends on the mood, like I said. Like, and even Michael Jackson, and you had
referenced
Michael Jackson. I still sing Michael Jackson songs.
Right. I mean, there's a play on Broadway right now about Michael Jackson's life. Now, they leave out parts of the life because they don't really get into, you know, the controversies around him. It's interesting because, you know, a few years ago, I guess maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, the documentary Finding Neverland came out.
I never watched it.
It's a really good documentary. It's disturbing. The documentary itself, though, you know, whether you think it's accurate or not, it's really well done. It's well researched, and there's a lot of stuff that when you watch it makes you think, boy, there's something that might be here. Now, Michael Jackson was not convicted of anything.
Right, ever, exactly.
You know, now obviously,
and that actually makes a difference, too, because there's still that element of doubt. So,
but there is a lot of accusations. And there seems to be, where there's smoke, there's something maybe burning. We don't know.
Right.
But it is interesting that working in radio at the time the Finding Neverland documentary came out, a lot of radio stations stopped playing Michael Jackson music for a while.
They did.
Yeah, it was kind of like put, you know, like, you know, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. And then some stations would say, like, well, we're still going to play him, you know, because they were the ones that would, you know, go against the grain. And, you know, again, you know, Michael Jackson, like you said, you know, one of the greatest performers in music history, you know, if you grew up in the 80s, you know every Michael Jackson song, you know.
But if you're the victim of any... you know, wrongdoing. Like, how would you feel hearing music or watching a movie with one of these actors in it? Or
The thing that kind of inspired me to talk about this was recently a trailer came out. They're doing a reboot of the movie Naked Gun. And Liam Neeson is playing Leslie Nielsen's part, which is confusing. Nielsen and you know, he's going to be the detective Frank Drebin, that's the character's name, and there's a scene he's supposed to be Leslie Nielsen's son in the movie, and there's a scene where he's crying at the picture of his father, and they show all the actors from the Naked Gun with they're supposed to be like the sons of all the previous people, and they're all crying at the picture. It's like a big joke, and at the end of it, there's one guy who's standing in front of a picture of O.J., who was in the Naked Gun movies, O.J. Simpson, and he looks at the camera and just kind of shakes his head like, no, I'm not going to cry, you know, kind of thing. So O.J., of course, O.J., if you watch the documentary on O.J.'s life, and there's a few of them, they did like a 6-part one on ESPN a few years ago, and it's an epic story.
Right.
His life story is insane. He was one of the biggest athletes of all time.
Yeah.
You know, a great football player, all-time great college football player, had success in the NFL, Hall of Fame NFL career, became a spokesman for, you know, a bunch of commercials, famous for the Hearst Rent-A-Car commercials where he's running through the airport.
Yeah.
And he starred in movies. He was in the Naked Gun movies. He was in Towering Inferno. He was in Capricorn One.
Such a likable person, too.
Everybody liked OJ.
Loved him.
Everybody liked OJ. He always had a smile on his face. Yeah. He was very charming.
Charming, for sure.
You know, and did a lot of sports casting and, you know, was everywhere. You know, arguably more popular after he played football than when he did play football. And then, of course, we know in 94, his wife and a friend of his wife are murdered, and he's accused and is on trial for over a year.
Yeah. And the most unbelievable trial, the most unbelievable footage.
The trial is just the most insane. We'll have to do an episode on the OJ trial at some point, because that's epic. But and then he's found not guilty. But then years later, he's found guilty of in civil court.
Yeah, the and, civil court, you know, always which the, is bizarre. The,
you know, yeah, very, very strange. And then he went ended up going to jail because he stole memorabilia that was actually his memorabilia, but he had so sold it. So for, you know, for a lot of years he was in jail. And then, of course, just about a year ago, I guess it was, he passed away. And it's just an epic, epic story.
Yeah.
And now when you see, you know, the Naked Gun movie, and he's kind of doofy and kind of funny, you know, and, you know, he's not in that movie a lot. So that kind of helps a little bit.
Right. But I don't think, see, at the time he made that movie, he wasn't a criminal and maybe not necessarily a bad dude. I mean, maybe he was abusive. I don't know the history. Right.
We don't know what happened behind
But I feel like it's different when you know something's going on during what you're watching than after. So him, I'm not going to not watch The Naked Gun. Okay. But however, I'm not a fan of his, but I just, you know, feel like that's okay.
Yeah, so then, you know, we mentioned Roseanne Barr, and she didn't do anything illegal. She did say a lot of pretty insensitive stuff, and definitely some stuff that was anti-Semitic and racist and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And so she had, you know, she was in Roseanne in the 80s, and I guess into the 90s the show originally ran. And then they rebooted it, and it was extremely popular when it came back.
Right.
You know, the new Roseanne, you know, and they picked it back up. And then they said all this stuff. So they fired her from the show.
Yeah.
And they kept it going with John Goodman and the rest of the family. They changed the name to the Connors, I believe. Yeah. And, you know, so the show Roseanne didn't have Roseanne anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, a different name, but the family still kept going. And I think just recently they finished it up, but it ran for a few more years after she was kicked off the show.
Right.
And so, you know, again, you know, it's funny, you're flipping through the channels, you see The Cosby Show, you see Roseanne, you see that 70s show, you see all these shows on all the time, you know, and it's definitely, there's something that clicks in the back of your mind that's like,
Yeah, well, you know what, the fantasy is over. I mean, Hollywood just has a history of just insane behavior, like, we don't know. Anytime you read one of those autobiographies, like I read the one about Paul Newman, I was like, oh my, like, you can't believe what happened.
Right.
Or allegedly happened. Right. So now we just kind of get a front row seat for it, I guess. Yeah. Like, the veil has been lifted, and now we're like, the reality set in.
One of the more interesting things recently, you know the actor Ezra Miller? He played the Flash in the DC movies.
Okay,
the
not
superhero
really.
Superhero movies. Mm. He's a quirky guy, and that's being polite, to put it mildly. So he did a movie called The Flash, and it was a big movie. You know, it was one of the superhero movies. It was supposed to be a big, big, you know, blockbuster kind of movie.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, they spent millions of dollars making this, and it was supposed to come out, it was supposed to finish up right around the time COVID hit. So it got pushed back because of that. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like in the can for a while before they released it, because they had to wait until movie theaters reopened and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, there was debating whether they should put it on streaming, but they didn't want to lose all the money because they put all this money into it. In the interim, while that is going on.
Right.
He did a bunch of really creepy, weird stuff. Like, there's allegations. And again, these are all allegations. So just put that out there.
Okay.
That, you know, he was in Hawaii for a while, and he got arrested a bunch of times for disorderly conduct, drunken behavior, and all this kind of stuff. And apparently he was accused of grooming a young girl.
Oh, boy.
And keeping the girl and her mother prisoner in a house and locked up. And again, this is all allegations.
Okay.
You know, nothing was, you know, said about it. There's video of him where, like, he's being harassed by fans, and he jumps one of them and starts choking them.
Oh.
And when you see the video, at first you think, like, oh, he's joking around with them. You know, he's just being silly and doofy, you know, and he's playing with this fan. And then it gets kind of, you know, like, what's going on here? You know, it's
so did this happen before they released the movie? Or
yeah.
Oh,
this was going on for, so this movie that was done, this million-dollar big blockbuster movie, you know, they didn't know what to do with it, because everybody started hating this guy and just saying, this guy's a creep. And he was the lead.
And the lead. Oh.
The lead character in this superhero movie. And, you know, so they kind of, you know, they were like, do we recast? Do we redo it? But they already, you know, they filmed the movie.
Yeah, it's already done.
It's done, you know. And actually, not to get too deep into the movie, but it involves time travel. and alternate universes and all this kind of stuff. So he actually is in the movie twice because he plays two different versions of himself.
It's all him.
So there's scenes actually where he's interacting with himself quite a bit. And so, you know, it's like, so you can hate him twice as much in this movie. It's very handy. And so the movie came out, and the movie wasn't very good because I think they did try to edit it to try and do – they put Michael Keaton in it playing the old Batman.
Okay.
And, you know, it's there was all kinds of stuff. So the movie wasn't great to begin with.
Yeah.
But it was tough to watch because it came out later than it was supposed to. It was kind of always just sitting around, like, when is this movie coming out?
Did they wait till the controversy died down
They had to wait because of COVID.
Right.
You know, on top of that. And then there was, like, you know, they just didn't know what to do with it. There was talk. Like, maybe we shouldn't release it at all, you know, because people are just, and he couldn't, like, obviously do press for the movie because he was actually, like, couldn't talk about anything because, you know, there were all these charges against him. So it was a disaster, and it cost the, you know, Warner Brothers millions of dollars. Wow. It was a bomb of a movie. And, you know, what's on top of that, it was part of the universe that they were creating, all these connect, you know, how all the superhero movies are part of connected universes where, you know, the Marvel and DC have these, you know, movies that are, you know, you have the different actors crossing over into different movies.
Right.
So this was like a centerpiece of the DC movie universe.
So it was tainting
basically ruined it. They kind of shut it down after that. And they're kind of rebooting it now with new actors and new people running it. So it kind of destroyed not just his movie, but a franchise of movies.
That's incredible. But you know what? Now, because information is so instantaneous, I bet you that casting directors do research on actors before they have them. Right? They don't want anything to taint their movie, for sure. Right. Look at what happened to the Oscar, Emilia Perez.
Right,
that was supposed to be a front runner, and then... Yeah. She got in trouble and it all kind of came crashing down.
You wonder because that, you know, like you said, she was the front runner and I think the voting was supposed to be already done by then.
Yeah.
You wonder if somebody said, hey, you know, maybe we should do a revote here.
Yeah.
You know, you would have to think they might have thought of that. You know,
That was the most instant fall from grace that I've ever seen. You know?
That was pretty instantaneous. Mm-hmm. You're right. You know? So, you know, now we have, of course, you know, Sean P. Diddy Combs is facing a lot of stuff, you know, and he obviously, you know, big star in the music industry. Mel Gibson, he had one of the biggest falls in Hollywood history.
Right.
And then, you know, what's interesting too, and I think Mel Gibson is a good example of this, it's how the celebrity handles it afterwards.
Right. Well, also, but then again, he wasn't
wasn't convicted of any crime.
He didn't do any crime or anything like that.
No.
I think you can't come back from that.
Yes.
No,
it's definitely, obviously there are degrees to all the stuff we're talking
absolutely,
about.
Absolutely, for sure.
You know, he was pulled over and he was drunk and he said some things that were anti-Semitic and, you know, but he never really seemed to apologize for it or be, some Pete Rose, you know, famous baseball player who bet on baseball, was banned for life. And, you know, he can't go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He recently passed away too. Because it never seemed like they were like ready to like say like, you know what, I screwed up. I'm really sorry if I, you know, and I didn't mean to hurt anybody, you know, but this is on me. They never seemed to like own up to it.
Yeah. And that's also a factor too. I think sometimes people double down and like, I mean, look at the president. Some of the things
not to get political, but
sometimes he says some things and you're like, oh, that might've been too far. And then.
You know, it was there's a very famous bit when he was running originally back in 2016 when he first was elected. And during that campaign, when he was running against Hillary Clinton, he made fun of a reporter who had cerebral palsy.
Yes, I remember
that. And, you know, he was like acting out like this gentleman who had disabilities and was physically, you know, had a lame arm and stuff. Right. And he was mocking him in a speech that was broadcast on television. And, you know, there are people to this day who say, how did that not end his political career right then and there?
And then you have other people that their political careers end like in a snap.
Right.
Like, remember John Edwards? Do you remember that
guy? Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember I liked him. I was like, he seems like a nice dude. I mean, instantly he was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just amazing. But I think that's like that with everything. Like you said, some actors, you know, they can make a comeback, and then some just disappear.
right? You know, political too. Right now we're seeing Andrew Cuomo trying to make a comeback. Of course, he was mayor of New York, was maybe the most popular politician at one time during the COVID, you know, the way he handled it in New York. Again, there's some controversy with that too, with nursing homes and everything. But, you know, at the time he was kind of seen as like the leader in like the going through the pandemic. And then, of course, there were allegations that he was inappropriate with some women in his office.
Yeah.
And he resigned. You know,
And I thought that was the end of him. I was thought we would never see him again.
It looks like, you know, as we're recording this right now in the spring of 2025, it looks like he's going to be elected mayor of New York.
Yeah.
You know, which is, and who knows from there? You
there know, might be knows? Something to this arrogance, right? Like that people are just like, I don't, maybe people are attracted to that. I don't know.
Well,
it's
you
just
know,
wild.
President Trump one time famously said, "I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and nobody would care."
Right,
and there might be some truth to that.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's a balance, and it depends. You know, it depends on what you did. It depends on how you did it, and depends on what else you do, I suppose. But it's
quote Michael Jackson, I mean, human nature, right?
It's only human nature.
Great song.
Yeah, great song. MJ forever, I guess. Thank you for listening to The Last Radio Show. If you like the show, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on your favorite platform. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at The Last Radio Show. We will talk to you soon.
The Last Radio Show.
The Last Radio Show.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.